It's a bonus day. You get two scriptures for the price of one today. Our second scripture comes from John, the first chapter. This is the calling of Philip and Nathanael. Well, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him, about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. It's Jesus, son of Joseph, of Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." May God bless this, our reading this morning. So, those of you who saw our bulletin cover this morning saw these four characters with a question on the bottom: "Can you find me?" And if you didn't know, these four characters all have something in common, and that they are all characters that are hidden. They are hidden characters. And I love finding hidden characters. Hidden picture games, I have loved them ever since I was a kid. In fact, my favorite book, and my dad will tell you because he had to read it to me for a bedtime story, I'd say roughly about 1,000 times, is Cars and Trucks and Things That Go. And this little guy, his name is Goldbug. You can see him there in the bulldozer. He's got a little bulldozer. And Goldbug is hidden on every page of Cars and Trucks and Things That Go. And you have to find him before you're allowed to turn to the next page. And if you're my dad, it can be very frustrating because you can't finish the book until you find Goldbug. And of course, what really swept the country by storm in the 90s was Where's Waldo? These books of very overly complicated pictures where they had this little guy, Waldo, hidden among the crowds. But in the 90s, the person that I was most trying to find was Carmen Sandiego. This was an elusive thief, and she would travel all over the world. First, she would just travel America, but then she would travel the world. Then she would travel the solar system. And you had to use your knowledge of geography and a little pocket atlas that came with the computer game to find Carmen Sandiego. And eventually she became a television show on PBS, and now she has a series on Netflix. And speaking of the next generation, many of you probably don't know about this, but if you are under six, I guarantee you know about Bluey. And I just learned this week that though the series has been on for about 5 years, there's three different seasons of Bluey. I just learned this week that this little sausage dog is hidden in every single episode. And so now this gives us a reason to go back and watch this show. And if you have not seen this, I recommend it. It is one of the greatest shows to come out for children in the last decade. So there's something very exciting about these kind of search and find games. There's something very exciting about discovery. What was once hidden is now revealed, and it being revealed somehow makes it special. When you find Waldo, that little character seems now to jump out from the page as a sort of this revealed thing. It has been discovered. And that same idea of being discovered, of being seen, is present in both of our scriptures today. The first scripture that Ina read is from the book of 1 Samuel, and it is the story of God calling Samuel. Now, just as I was excited to find Goldbug in Richard Scarry's giant melange of cars, God must have been excited to find Samuel amidst all of these corrupt priests. In Samuel's day, he worked with the priests, and many of them, the younger generations, were all corrupt. They were taking money for things and extorting other people. But Samuel's heart was devoted and he was pure. And through all of this clutter, God sees Samuel. And that makes Samuel special. However, of course, the irony of the story is that Samuel does not recognize that it is God who is calling to him. In fact, he goes to the priest three different times because he believes it's the priest who is the one who is calling him. But here's a question I have. Do you think it ever maybe crossed Samuel's mind that this voice that was calling was from God? Of course, the story makes no mention of Samuel knowing that. I want to be clear. But I don't think that it's too far-fetched to think somebody like Samuel, who devoted his daily life to Scripture, to communing with God, to learning priestly duties, it might be a thought that crossed his mind that that might be God calling him. So if that maybe was the case, then the question is, well, why didn't he respond to God? Why didn't he acknowledge that it was God? Well, there could be all kinds of different reasons. I mean, Samuel certainly would not have been the first person to hear a call from God and try to ignore it. Maybe Samuel didn't think that he was worthy of God's call. Or maybe he didn't think he was quite ready. He was just a boy. He wouldn't be ready to do all of the things that God would have tasked for him. Or perhaps he just needed to be sure. You know, you hear voices in the middle of the night. You want to be sure that it is God. It's no accident that God calls upon Samuel three times before he finally responds. Remember, every time somebody mentions a question at three times, and in this case, four times before Samuel actually responds, but anywhere in Scripture where a question is asked three times, it is an indication for us as the readers to stop and take notice because something important is about to happen. So maybe Samuel just needed to know that God was serious. Whatever the reason, on that fourth call, with the help of Eli's wisdom, Samuel recognizes that it is God calling him and answers the call. So what about you? Have you ever heard God's call? Have you ever been discovered by God? Maybe it wasn't a voice waking you up in the middle of the night, or maybe it was an inspiration that came upon you suddenly, or something that urged in your soul, some kind of movement for action. What was your response? Was your response, "That can't be God. I'm not worthy of such a call. I'm not ready for that kind of responsibility. I don't have the skills necessary to respond." Or maybe, "This is just a fleeting thing. God will move on. I'll wait and see if it happens again." What would change if your response was, "Here I am, Lord. Speak. Your servant is listening." I want to go back briefly to our Can You Find Me characters on the bulletin. An interesting thing about these characters is that they're not completely hidden, right? There's always something that is indicating where they are. Even Carmen Sandiego, if she didn't want to be found, she shouldn't wear the same outfit all the time. I think they want to be found. I think they want to be seen. But they don't want to make it too easy. I think that characteristic holds true for Nathanael, the disciple in our second scripture reading today. I think he wants to be seen. He wants to be found by this Messiah that he and his friends had clearly been talking about. He wants to be chosen. But he doesn't want to make it too easy. So when Philip first approaches him, Nathanael is skeptical. He's skeptical about this special rabbi. Now, Philip seems like the kind of person that would jump at whatever opportunity came his way. But Nathanael, he is the skeptic. Especially when he finds out that this supposed Messiah is from Nazareth. How can anything good come from Nazareth, he says. So this gives Jesus an opening to prove himself to Nathanael. And he does so by saying this. He says to Nathanael, I saw you. I saw you. As Nathanael approaches him, he tells Nathanael that he is a true Israelite, someone without deceit. He's somebody who will tell it like it is. He won't sugarcoat anything, clearly, as we learned from his Nazareth line earlier. But then when Nathanael questions him again, He says, how do you know me? And Jesus says, I saw you. I saw you under that fig tree. And when Nathanael finds out that he was seen, he is overjoyed. And it's not hard to see why. It feels good to be seen. It feels good to be chosen. It feels so good because it allows us to know that we are not alone. When someone sees us, it makes us feel special. It makes us feel wanted. You might have this same feeling after an audition or a job interview or a first date. You put yourself out there, make yourself vulnerable, and you hope to be chosen. Nathanael was chosen by Jesus, and he is beside himself with joy. But the good news is this. We are all chosen. At one point or another, God calls to each of us. This is the world-changing message that Jesus brought, that the love and grace of God is not just available to some, but available to all who find it. All are chosen. Now that is indeed good news, but that is not what makes this story unique. I think we find that throughout the scriptures as Jesus preaches to more and more outcasts and Gentiles. The uniqueness of this particular story is in Jesus' response. Now, you know how Jesus loves a good reversal, right? Jesus loves to take something that people know and flip it on its head. The last shall be first. When somebody asks you for your coat, give them your cloak as well. Etc., etc. So when Nathanael comes to him with this amazement, Jesus' response is this. He says, you are amazed because I saw you under the fig tree? You will be even more amazed at the wonders you will see. See, Nathanael is amazed by what Jesus saw. But Jesus tells Nathanael, if you follow me, you will be amazed by what you will see. You will see wonders. You will see signs. You will see amazing things. You will see angels. You will see indeed the heavens open. This is the special promise that Jesus makes in this story, and this is our takeaway for today. Yes, we are all chosen in one way or another. We are all given the opportunity to follow Jesus. But when we follow Jesus, it's not just that we are chosen, But what is truly amazing is what we will see. Not just that God, that Jesus sees us. What is amazing is what God, what Jesus will show us. What will truly be amazing are the wonders that we will see. What is remarkable is all that God will do in our lives, in our church, in our world, all the things that we can see by following Jesus. We will see wonders. We will be amazed. We will see transformations through the power of love. We will see angels walking among us. Angels in the faces of people who we might not have even looked twice at before. We will see heaven on earth. So the question is, how will you respond? Are you listening? Are you listening for God's call? And are you ready to follow? And are you ready to be amazed? The people of God said, Amen. I invite you to pray with me at this time with this question to God. Can you find me? Let us pray. Gracious God, from a lowly bed in Israel, from under a fig tree, from so many places, you call out to us. We ask you, Lord, if you can find us this morning. We ask if you see us here. We ask if you are calling us today. Lord, we know that the road ahead is not always easy. We know that following the ways of Jesus is not always rewarding in the ways that we might think. But Lord, we know that when we follow you, that we follow in this path of love. We follow in a path of making this world a place that is more suitable for all. We pray, Lord, as we respond to your call, that you guide our path and that you show us all that is amazing, all of the wonders that you would have us see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.